Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, co-author of The Hump Store and CHO, Rick Morrison.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, spoken word artist, Tess Cacciatore. I am Mark Lejeune, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I am so looking forward to this show with our guest and our spoken word artist guest. And it's interesting because in a way it ties into a couple conversations that I have had recently. About a month ago, one of my clients who's from the Middle East, and she came here when she was just a girl. Her family brought her here. And she was telling me how she felt really uncomfortable. And here she is, a mature woman. She's one of the managers at a very large tech electronics company. And she works with a lot of engineers and scientists. Computer scientists. She said how she's very uncomfortable in this country and that her mom made a bad decision bringing the family here, and that she feels like she'll never feel like she belongs. And it's interesting to me because she's in a tech field, and I asked her, What's the demographic of the people she works with? And she mentioned, oh, there, this about this many people from China, and about this many people from India, and about this many. And I said to her, do you think that maybe some people in your organization feel the same way as you do? And she said she never thought about that, but she doesn't think so. And having worked with so many people from different cultures and having a background in a different culture myself, yet being very American and happily so, I said to her that it'd be interesting if she could have a meeting where this is brought up, and that I thought she would be surprised if people could answer honestly just how many people feel, if not exactly how she feels, in some way like she feels. And that maybe nobody within, especially her field, actually feels 100% comfortable or actually feels 100% at home. And I think it was really interesting that about a week ago, I had almost the same exact conversation with another client who just moved into a community. And he says that this community that he now lives in has so many families. And in his case, he's been divorced. And he says these families, they look so wholesome, and they all look like they go to church, or they all look like this. And he says, I feel like I'm a bad influence in this community. And I said, why? He said, well, because I've been divorced, and because this and because that, and I'm just not conventional like they are. And I said, well, I told him the story about the manager at the tech company, and I said, in your case, I don't suggest you hold a meeting and ask anybody how they feel about that. However, I said, I could almost guarantee you, because I work with so many people, we talk to so many people on the show, we do workshop with so many people, that there are probably a lot of people within that community, the ones who are the look good families, the ones who are struggling in one way or another, financially or what have you, the ones who are quote unquote fooling around, the ones who are not getting enough and are unhappy, the ones who don't feel heard or seen. I could almost guarantee that a great percentage, if not 98%, maybe even 100%, are very uncomfortable people, maybe feeling like they don't fit in and they have to keep up, or this is the way they have to be because we live in this community, or we're in America, or what have you. And so I thought of these two things as I was coming into the show today, because it's almost like we just need a hug. and we just need to know that we're not the only ones. And so I can't wait to continue this conversation and take it to all kinds of wonderful places with both our guest and our spoken word artist guest when we come back right after this on the Life Changes Show.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sierra Campbell, and Alan Roderick Jones on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. You can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio sitting here with Mark Lejeune. And Mark, I know you know all about this.
I do. And I was just having a conversation with somebody earlier about a moment of reflection of gratitude that I have when I look back to my neighborhood and growing up and the difference in it. And now it makes sense because it's part of why I'm here. But even though it was kind of white bread, middle America, south of Cleveland, my neighborhood was right off the boat or plane or whatever from Greece and the Ukraine and Germany and India. And so I grew up in a different, I grew up in a global culture and it was very community and connected. And there was a lots of hugs and lots of, so I guess the life that we are encouraging and championing and going to be talking about today to bring more of, I was blessed to have a lot of that as a kid.
Yeah. And not that it was all roses. There were the problems, but
Obviously there's lots of stories that lead into that when you talk about that kind of diversity. But you know, there's a whole other show there.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's bookmark that and maybe we can talk about that as well. But I love this. We called our show today, this episode, Hugging It Out with our guest, Mark said CHO. What does that mean? Chief Hugging Officer. We love that. We are sure Rick made that up and came to that. He's a residential realtor and a co-author of The Hug Store and so much more. We'll talk about as we learn more about him. Rick Morrison, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Wonderful. You gave me this okay thing while I finished the monologue. What were you resonating with about it?
That there was a lead into to this show that was unified in a hug, which is really symbolic for kind of a universal language.
Oh, interesting. I never thought of a hug as a universal language.
And when Mark was just, talking about that really is a way when you are with different cultures, a way to unite, through a hug. If you don't speak the language, you know, it's kind of a universal sign of acceptance.
Nice. Well, how did you come to hugs?
Well, I grew up in a family in the Midwest, on the other side of that lake, in the Metro Detroit area. And I grew up in a real touchy-feely home, where hugs were encouraged. We always were, close friends. My sister is literally my best friend to this day still. We're just, that's all I knew from. And I always felt really connected and that I wanted to give more of myself as a young person. And I would do it through hugging. I would do it through, paper route and knocking on doors and, all of those kind of things that were reach out things, but in it there were hugs, there were hugs with my eyes. I was just always that kind of person. In high school, I was a jock, but I was also a musician, and I was also the nerdy one. I was kind of all these different people trying to really find out who I was. But all through that, the unified theme through that was I was really expressive of my love and wanting to hug people.
Wow. We'll talk more about that in a second. But sure. When you say you're all these different people, I love. Was that like and love at the same time? I'm right in between. People that embrace so many aspects of themselves. And you are one of these people. You were we were talking about your residential realtor, but on your card, you list all these other things as well, including sommelier, wine consultant. What else is on there?
Musician. You know, author.
Why limit yourself?
That's where the name Morrison comes from.
I got to work with that. That's brilliant. Yeah,
you can use that. Family name is just Sin, but now he's Morrison. more power to you. And there's lots more I think you're going to be adding to that business card.
Yes. Yeah.
You're not going to do it right now.
Okay.
but great radio host would a guest or host. I don't know. Do you host your own show yet?
I don't. But
the Hug Show.
It's great. There's so many things I want to do. I really want to just clone myself so I can multiply and do all these things.
Okay.
Yeah. More Rick, more sons.
okay. Well, you have a daughter, and then so what? How did this Hug Store book come about?
Yeah. With your daughter? I'd say the biggest changes occurred when all of the life that I thought I was living, I realized wasn't bringing me the happiness that I knew was out there. And I kind of trusted myself to know that. There's a lot of layers to that. But, you know, through my daughter and being able to witness through innocence and the own trusting that children bring to the world, I rediscovered who I was. And while I'm still that person in high school, the many people that I am still right now are all those things that are really true and honest to who I am. And I feel challenged in some areas, but yet like infinite in all the different things are going to work out. And they're because they're so heart-centered and there's such great intention behind it. But a lot of that comes through witnessing my daughter, witnessing how I behave in her presence, but also more importantly, sometimes how I behave outside of her presence.
Because of her influence.
Yeah, of her influence. But the book came about, you know, the quasi short story is a trip to Michigan, and she wasn't comfortable giving my father, her grandfather, a hug. He hadn't seen her in a long time. And like any grandparent, you know, just wanted to, you know, kind of gobble up this, you know, you always hear being a grandparent is like, you know, twice being a parent. So it's not apparent to me what he's feeling, but I was kind of wondering. And I don't know what he's going through, but she didn't want to give a hug. And whatever it was, she could have.
How old was she?
She was about 4 at the time. Okay. And instead of saying no or having a meltdown or whatever, she just made up something and said, "Grandpa, I'm all out of hugs. And I'll go to the store and buy one and bring one home for you." And so he played back with her. Well, okay, what store are you going to go to? And on the drive home from the airport, the book started evolving right there. She would talk about, you know, where she would look.
Wow.
And we took that, you know, at first it was really not even going to be a book that we published. We thought we'd tell a story, but kind of keep it an inside family story. And the more people I shared it with, especially people that were really close and saw this new me coming out, we're like, oh no, that's a story that really needs to be told. And a lot of families, children can learn from that. So we actually did a 2-year, you know, deal with our publisher to create this book. And it was a long wait for a 5-6-year-old child to wait every month for a new illustration. Long.
There's so much in what you just shared, even in that condensed version. And I look forward to touching on some of that. But one thing that I wanted to focus on real quickly is you didn't force her to hug him.
Right. That was something that I have to tell you, I actually thought about it, but I didn't do it. And I think, looking back now, I did it because of some of who I was becoming in that moment made me realize that this is not my place to go. She needs to, you know, I need to allow her that sovereignty to kind of find her way.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the protective, all-knowing, you know, Superman dad is kind of like, you know, where ego comes in, all that, going, oh, I know what to do, how to diffuse this. But honestly, had I tried to diffuse that, it would have blown up in my face. I thought about it, though. Mm-hmm. I just took a moment, though, and did it. And I'm so grateful that I let it roll.
Well, thank you for sharing that honestly and for anchoring that. And that's exactly why I asked the question, because maybe then somebody else won't force a child or won't even have to think about it. They'll know that the child will at some point hug when they're comfortable or not, and right. that they have their own boundaries and all that. So kudos to you, and look forward to coming back and talking more about the book with our guest Rick Morrison. And a little later on, we're going to have our spoken word artist Tess Cacciatore all live here on the Life Changes Show right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Dan Millman, The Green Children, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guest, CHO. I think I'm going to be using that all night, a chief hugging officer. I want to be a CHO.
You are a CHO. Rick,
everyone is.
Rick Moore Morrison. So we're talking about one of the books, The Hug Store, and I should mention that there's another book, and it seems like lately I've been bombarded. So Betsy Chassie, who is a friend, Dancing in the Unknown is a book that she put out, real stories of the trials and triumphs of living your life your way. And how perfect that Rick Morrison has a chapter in the book, and it is called It Takes a Child to Raise a Village. And I love how all this aligns. And then, of course, Tess said, "Well, you should have Rick on the show." And Mark says, "Hey, you know what? I think we should have Rick on the show." And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm getting it. I hear." And here we are. So The Hug Store is your first official book, but mm-hmm. you co-authored it with your daughter, Shauna.
Right.
And basically, it's like you described, it was written as you talked about it.
Right. It kind of wrote itself. Yeah. There was some of the add-on, you know, hug research and things like that that went into it. But the story itself was kind of a quick story, as great stories really come. They kind of write themselves. And, you know, it just, I never like to spoil the end of it, but it's a insight. It's something that we all have, but a lot of times we're not paying attention to it because we're anywhere but where we are. And that was her, you know, having that moment, because kids are always in present moment until, you know, we strip them of that. And it's kind of, you know, goes into the whole thing.
That's the way it used to be done.
Right.
Stripping them of that. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a quote that I mentioned in the book from Dr. Shefali, a great teacher who really was, you know, talking about a clash of time zones that kids and parents have, because parents are always in the past or the future, and kids are always in the present. And the more that we're in there, they're going to kind of show us who we are. And we don't have to necessarily try to figure things out, because they're in it. They love getting dirty. And then things just, you know, they always work out for kids. You know, if they have, you know, fights on the playground, whatever, you know, 2 minutes later, they're on the swings with the same people they were fighting with, you know, it's like,
I had it put to me the other day in a way I hadn't heard before, but that, kids, before the age of 10, operate like cameras, and after the age of 10 operate like projectors.
Interesting.
That's a great analogy.
Interesting.
Yeah. That one's going to
settle. That's a good insight.
Yeah. Moment of silence, please.
So the hug store takes us through different stores.
Right.
Looking for hugs. Oh, this is the part you don't want to spoil the ending.
It's okay.
Okay. No, it's okay. We don't have to go there. I get it.
I'll just say
I like it.
the last line of the book, and I won't spoil it. But I will say the last line of the book is, do you know where your hug store is?
Ah, nice. Nice. Well, we had a hug store when you walked in the studio. So why is this book being endorsed by several nationally recognized healthcare professionals and all of that?
You know, I think this book was just timely in part of the fact that we've become such a society that's focused culturally, you know, we're in our devices, you know, everyone's looking down at screens, and you know, even kids who are starting to get phones when they're 10, 11, 12, there'll be a whole group of them together and none of them are talking. It's like, you know, 9 or 10 people and they're all staring at their phones. Mm. And I think
talking to their friends, right, quote unquote.
Right, right. They're texting their friend what they should change the channel to.
Right, what should I watch?
Right, or which game should we play? And I just think that this book is reminding us that, we're a culture of people who actually never had these devices. It's going to get away from us if we let it. But also, you know, if you look all the way back to when
people hug their devices all day long.
Right. That's it. They're hugging devices. But, you know, when a child's in the womb, you know, they're hugged inside, you know, for 9 months. They're, you know, when they come out, swaddling is a powerful way to calm a child, which, you know, looks cruel, but, you know, it's not any tighter, or probably less tight than it was inside before they came through. So, you know, we're used to being in that, and we kind of, you know, have stripped ourselves from it. So that the book, I think, has been endorsed because people are remembering that that's a really important thing. There's a quote in there about, you know, high tech, low touch society. It kind of really sums up how we've become.
And so actually recognizing that there are benefits to hugging.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
so many.
So many. Could you mention a couple of them for us?
Yeah. There's been a lot of research done in the last 30 years. One of our endorsers, Dr. Tiffany Field, she runs the Touch Research Institute at the University of Miami, and she's kind of globally recognized by her peers. It's the only research facility in the world dedicated to the study of human touch, and was one of the people I had reached out to when I mentioned earlier. And
did you reach out in touch?
I did, and you know, it's funny. I touched send, and believe it or not, I got hugged in about 2 minutes. You know, usually when you send out endorsements, you send them out with the intention that hopefully they're going to come back, but you know, most never do. Some do, and they take months. Tiffany emailed me back within 2 minutes. It actually startled me. I thought it was a bounce back, address kind of thing. And she was so excited that there was a book on touch for children to show how important it is, because all her work's been geared around, you know, adults and everything. So, but you know, what Tiffany and so many other researchers say is that, I mean, it reduces stress. It you know, there's all the, you know, it dissolves, you know, cortisol in the hormones that suppress us in our immune systems. And it allows, you know, production of serotonin and oxytocin and, you know, the real feel good hormones to rise up and produce more of. There's really, you know, and there's a Hug Alliance, which I'll talk more of perhaps in a little bit. But one of our doctors in there, he's also a clinical psychologist, talks about how long hugs should be, because we've kind of, even though touch is good, any touch is better than none, you can't really get the benefits of those things I just mentioned unless you really embrace.
How long should hugs be?
It should be whatever somebody feels comfortable. And I always say that, like an analogy, like if somebody says to me, what kind of wine should I drink with this dish? I'm like, you drink whatever you like, whatever tastes good. Yeah. To you, there are some pairings that you might enjoy, but ultimately you have to like it. And it's the same thing with a hug. You have to be comfortable. The other person has to be comfortable. If you both allow and trust each other, a hug that's at least 8 to 12 seconds is going to start doing these type of things.
Like 1001.
If for some it could be uncomfortable, but you know what it does? What it does is that it allows you to have a beginning, a midpoint, and a kind of coming out.
You kind of feel it.
It's like a little small meditation. It pulls you into present moment.
Yeah.
Because it is a little uncomfortable. And you're acknowledging that, but it's those things.
Well, it is if we're not used to it. Right. And if the other person not knowing what's happening, right? Because our culture doesn't, we bump hands now.
Right.
Right.
But I remember when I was even married, you know, my former wife and I don't think we ever hugged for more than, you know, 2 seconds at a time. Because everyone's going, you're moving, and you're doing things fast. Our culture is fast paced. So even, you know, intimate relationships now, I don't think a lot of them don't have the hug time that, you know, would really be.
Wow.
You know, important.
So this is a book for children because you have a coloring book that goes with it too. However, what's learned here, the lessons are for adults as well.
You know, I went around with my publisher on it with ages 3 to 103 is what I wanted. Uh-huh. Told me, oh, it's got to be, you know,
for marketing.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? Version number 2, it is going back to 3 to 103. Because there is an insight for everybody in this book. And honestly, you know, quote, grown-ups need to really learn.
Quote, grown-ups. Yeah.
You know.
And I like also that you talk about who not to hug.
Mm-hmm. And
in your talks and stuff.
Right, yeah. Right. And, you know, a lot of that stems from just kids in a classroom may not be comfortable hugging their peers in a classroom. You know, may not be comfortable hugging that aunt or uncle that they haven't seen in 3 years. Mm. And who's to say, I mean, it's honoring the sovereignty. I always kind of go back to that hugs, you know, come through some people a little bit easier than others.
Understandably.
Yeah.
And kids maybe feel energy and they don't want to be around certain people or be forced to hug people. Like I was forced to hug in the Italian American culture.
I think that's the bigger component of this is the what's not being taught is in the field, is the field science of what we are truly doing at a energetic level, and those uncomfortable honoring and learning those uncomfortable moments, or because of maybe one uncomfortable moment, than being cultured out of a natural interactivity, a comfort with being open. So then they get more and more reserved and more closed off. And then that carries forward into the adult life. And then people are like, why aren't you more intimate in your relationship? So this, right? You just continue to separate. So I think that's, you know, something that could go hand in hand with hugging is a knowledge more of what's going on energetically, not just physical, but the minute you come into contact as you're entering into that hug.
Well, and it's funny because while I am a hugger, Shauna, my daughter and co-author, is not necessarily a hugger.
Interesting.
And everybody assumes because she wrote this book with me about it that she is. And we did a morning show last week in San Diego, and she was, you know, everyone wanted a hug from her. And I kind of prepped our publicist that, you know, let them know that she's not necessarily going to just run up and hug
Yeah.
She kind of feels into herself. And honestly, had I tried to bring her to that place, it would have made the interview really uncomfortable
yeah.
for people.
Well, you say you're a hugger. And I saw that you are. However, you're also an adult and you know what's safe and what you're comfortable with and all that as well.
Right.
Because there may be situations where you don't want to hug. And so,
right.
And I think that's important. You know, actually, I think there's a jingle that's wanting to happen that goes something like, I'm a hugger, you're a hugger, he's a hugger, she's, wouldn't you like to be a hugger? Anyway, so we'll be right back with our guest, Rick Morrison. And a little later on, we're going to have a live spoken word here in the studio with Tess Cacciatore,
like
all in the Light Change Show.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Barbara Morrison, and Kyle Cease at our archive on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guest, CHO, Chief Hugging Officer, Rick Morrison. Actually, you are chief something because the Hug Alliance, right? You're part of a thing.
Right, right. So when we wrote the book, we noticed right after we released it, there was National Hugging Day. And we thought we'd do some.
Actually.
It is coming up. It's January 21st.
And I never knew that existed. What are we supposed to do?
32 years it's been around. Yeah, it's on.
Never heard of it.
32. This is the 32nd year, and it's amazing. Wow. So that the intention of it is so great. Kevin Zaborni, a Michigander, had started this, and he joined our Hug Alliance, as did Betsy Chassi and several others. And we realized that in our reach collectively, we could actually really amplify and spread the word about how important hugs are. So the Hug Alliance has kind of become this moving organization that I kind of like to say that we're a boat we're building while it's going down the river into producing this event at Agape coming up on April 21st. It's going to involve Guinness Book of World Records and breaking the world's record for the most nationalities in a group hug, as well as a few additional records. But we looked for seeking sponsorship dollars. And to touch on what Mark started talking about earlier, Huggies Corporation, Kimberly Clark, sponsoring us because they really believe in the power of hugs at not only the physical level, but the emotional level, which I think is really, for me, I always say it's where the juice is with like social emotional learning in public schools and some of the things that are not being taught. You've got STEAM and STEM and some of these other things, but what about the social emotional learning component? So we've done we wrote a curriculum for Montessori that we want to bring into mainstream public education also. So the Hug Alliance will be producing National Hugging Day coming up on the 21st.
And this is a special day where we don't have to buy gifts and we don't have to buy cards and all we have to do is hug.
If you're comfortable with it, you can always come there and watch. But it is going to start with everyone hugging themselves first because you can't, you know. You got to bring it.
You can't give it if you don't have it.
Right.
To give.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, you brought it. Thank you so much.
Thank you for bringing it in.
I like the tagline here you have for the book, Changing the World One Hug at a Time. The Hug Store by Shauna and Rick Morrison. And then, of course, we were talking about Dancing in the Unknown by Betsy Chassie, where Rick Morrison has a chapter in there. So, Rick, thank you so much for what you're doing and for being here with us to share all that.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here.
Look forward to everything more with you guys. Thank you.
Likewise. Well, we'll have to talk about the hug show. Anyway, we've got Dorothy here, our executive producer, for her Ask Dorothy segment, and I believe a shout out.
We got a quick shout out to our friend, which we've mentioned, Betsy Chassie, who's here to create media that inspires, provokes thoughtful conversation and transformation. Join her newsletter to receive a free ebook of her writings on love, divorce, spirituality, science, parenting, and life. And visit her Patreon page to receive special content. You can also check her out on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and the like. Go to Betsy Chassie, that's chasse.net. Dorothy, my name is Joan, and I live in San Diego, California. My 50th birthday is coming up next month, and I am miserable because I still am married to a man who will not take care of me and provide for me. When will I find the perfect man who will protect me and provide for me so I can finally be happy? When I go out with my friends, they get all of the attention, and I am often left alone, feeling very dejected and sorry for myself. Almost all of my coworkers have found their soulmates. When will I find the perfect man who will love me and protect me and provide for me so that I can finally be happy?
My dear Joan, it would be good for you to understand that happiness cannot and does not come to us from others. The truth is that no one can make you happy or unhappy. You are the one in charge of your state of mind and your choices. As long as you believe that you will only be happy when the perfect man shows up to provide for you, you will never find happiness. It is interesting to me that you appear to be employed, as you refer to your coworkers, and yet you are seeking someone to provide for you. If your job doesn't provide you with enough, or if it doesn't satisfy you, you may wish to change careers and find something more rewarding financially and emotionally. Joan, I'm much older than you, and I've been successfully single for many years and have provided for myself and raised my two children on my own and provided for them until they were old enough to take care of their own needs. No man has ever provided for me since my divorce many years ago. I truly am happy because I know that I'm a powerful being, and not only can I provide for myself, I can protect myself and also co-create a life that fulfills me on every level. I choose to be happy while living in a world that is often challenging on many levels. Just as I believe that there is a beautiful man looking for me and wanting to help me co-create a better world, I believe that there is someone for you. However, I believe that this perfect man you are seeking is looking for a woman who is happy and who loves life and loves herself. So let's look at what energies you are projecting when around others. If you're being miserable, you're not projecting anything that would attract the right man into your life. So let's find a way for you to be happy with you, and let's find a way for you to project joy, excitement, and enthusiasm when around others, and you will see a difference in who and what you attract.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if any of you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
Thank you so much. And we'll be right back with our spoken word artist, Tess Cacciatore, after this on The Life Changes Show.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorotheyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We are back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guest, Rick Morrison. And talk about somebody who's does so many things. Our spoken word artist today is a friend of all of ours, a producer, founder of Gwen Global Women's Empowerment Network, and so much more, and author of Homeless to the White House. And here to share some words from her book is our spoken word artist guest, Tess Cacciatore. Welcome to the show, Tess.
Why, thank you. I am so ready for my hugs.
Oh,
I know I got some when I walked in the door, but I just, after hearing this story, I want more hugs.
Yeah, you know what? We're going to do that. We're going to all... We'll take time to do that, even Perfect. More so than usual. And so you, with everything that you're doing, it's all around what?
It's all around, I believe, for us to stand in the light, to share our stories, because we all have a story to share, and to really just take the time to really step into what our lives are supposed to be, our purpose and our passion.
Because we don't always know, actually, as your book says, literally homeless to the White House, that's not a path that you would have chosen.
No.
Right.
But I wouldn't have changed any of it.
From your perspective now, good
from
on you.
From my perspective now.
Good on you. Well, actually, before we continue, let's hear some of what you have to share from your book, Homeless to the White House.
So yes, I divided the introduction, so you're not going to get a lot of the story, but it sets the stage for what I believe is the foundation of the book. So
great. Here well, we here's go. Tess Cacciatore.
Where's my musicians and my, you know, spoken word chanters and drummers?
You didn't bring them?
I didn't bring them.
Oh, wow.
Late notice here, so I'm just here by my little old me.
Well, we're looking forward to it. Here's Tess Cacciatore reading from her book, Homeless to the White House, which comes out soon, live on the Life Changes Show here at Studio NoHo.
The time has come. We are in a revolution and an evolution. Markers throughout history stated that we would come to these crossroads, but we were not given the exact time or circumstance. I feel that it is an exciting time to be alive. However, this is not for the faint of heart. The patriarchal systems are seemingly in the midst of a meltdown, while the feminine is rising. We are all asked to stand and have our voices heard or hide in a cave. I do not believe in the fire and brimstone of our world coming to an end. However, I feel this evolution is a way to see that the world we have come to know is coming to a certain kind of end, and this change will be good for humanity for the better. The evidence to me is in those numerous disasters that are taking place in our world to show us the power of coming together so that we can stand as one. It is my humble opinion that through these times we can rectify the balance between the masculine and feminine and find peace in our world. While diving into the final stages of writing this book, I'm preparing to travel once again to the United Nations for the Commission on the Status of Women, which is held each March in New York. Every March is Women's History Month. March 8th is the celebration of International Women's Day. So this is our time to get our act together and come together as one. To me, this also means that women need to find the place to support one another. Women for women as well. Too many examples, including my own experience of conversations that I'm having behind the scenes where women have pitted against one another instead of holding sacred our feminine powers. We are at a crossroads and we are witnessing the merging of both the masculine and feminine aspects, which in turn creates a much needed balance for all things to coexist. I feel that women today are facing new opportunities. Men are encouraged to face their emotions, express themselves, and be more aligned with their feminine side without being chastised. Balance and recalibration are on the rise. I see that we are teetering on the edge of a tipping point and that we are all on the crossroads of humanity where all possibilities are at our fingertips. I feel the way to sustain and obtain the balance is to sacredly hold the masculine and feminine within each of us and then watch how it all unfolds. I truly believe that we are on the brink of emotional, environmental, social, and political revolution. My long-awaited dream of having all these amazing technologies in place to connect the cultures of the world is finally here. This is our time to share our stories, to reveal, and to heal. The time is now. We can live our truth so that we can leave a legacy to support our future generations to stand in the light and be fully enveloped in love.
Thank you, Tess Cacciatore. The book is Homeless to the White House. It will be available this spring. Of 2018. And you can go to gwen.live, and Gwen, of course, is Global Women's Empowerment Network. Gwen.live, G-W-E-N.live. And interestingly, you said to unite the cultures of the world, which is kind of what I touched on in the monologue, and then Mark touched on, and then Rick touched on, and here it is. Yeah, there it is.
It's our theme.
There it is.
Absolutely.
And what a beautiful theme and thing it is. You know, listening to your voice, it felt like I was listening to your radio show, which is Gwen Talks. And so people, tell people about that.
So Gwen Talks Radio is every Wednesday. Every Wednesday at 11 o'clock, we're on iHeartRadio. And Rick's been on my show. Mark has been the announcer of every episode, and he'll be coming up on one of the episodes. Dorothy was on this past week for our first episode of the year, and little old you, Filippo, I'm staring at you, the little dog that could, you know, was on the show as well. So I'm really excited about where we're going in the new year for the shows and the topics that we're going to be covering.
Just say Gwen.
That was Mark's coin term. I love that.
Okay, so we get to hear another excerpt, and this is that was from the introduction.
This also is from the introduction too. I just had to, you know, and you just called me a couple hours ago, so this is so exciting to be living on the edge like this with you. So yes, this is part of the introduction as well.
We should probably mention we called her a couple hours ago because our other spoken word artist, who was scheduled for today, his son was sent to the hospital on an emergency. So thank you, Tess, for bringing in your work, as we've been wanting to have, and we always mention Gwen as a great partner of the Life Changes show. So thank you.
Thank you.
What a perfect opportunity, and we all wish the best for for our guest's son. So with that, here's Tess Cacciatore reading another excerpt from her book, Homeless to the White House, live on the Life Changes show here at Studio NoHo.
I wake up each day with gratitude and always look at my adventures as a blessing. This despite the fact that there have been many junctures on my road less traveled where I've been curled up in a fetal position, shaking my fist to heaven, thinking to myself, what in the hell am I doing? I have slipped down the slipperiest of slopes and fallen down endless rabbit holes, chasing carrots that have been dangled in front of me by one person or another. I keep swearing off the carrots as I know I'm not a rabbit, but somehow my curiosity gets the better of me. Much to my own demise, my trust in humanity does not seem to diminish. During the course of these carrot-chasing escapades, I have found myself in profoundly dangerous circumstances. Between having guns shoved in my face, walking on the edge of literal fires, flying in a plane over New York City on 9/11 when the World Trade Center was crumbling below me, to living in Los Angeles during the riots, My rabbit holes have led me far and wide. I have lived in the confines of mental rabbit holes and even lived as a homeless person for 16 months during 2011 to 2012. I know that I have been and continue to be divinely protected. I feel it is my duty to share my story, not because I feel that I'm any better or worse than anyone else, but because I want to communicate that we are all on this ride together and we all have a story to share. I am inspired by the concept of people sharing their stories that take us to the vulnerable place of healing. The cracks in our society have been magnified as of late. Racism has been brought to the surface in ways we never wanted to believe existed, and perhaps a newfound uprising for hatred is cooing under the social media microscope. The world is on a rage stage. The underbelly of society is filled with angst, unless you're lucky enough to be living on the moon with a group of chanting monks. And even then, someone is bound to get angry because these monks might not be wearing the right color of saffron robes. Homeless to the White House began while I was filming a documentary about a man who was running for president in the Democratic Republic of Congo in 2010. I traveled to the Congo by myself during a volatile national uproar to trace the steps of this man's life. He promised that when he was elected as president of the Congo, he would be committed to the women and children of Eastern Congo who still continue to be brutally raped on a daily basis. I risked my life as a pawn in his chessboard in life. In retrospect, I would not change a moment of my journey. While filming in Congo, my safety was gravely compromised on more than one occasion. I still marvel at how closely I brushed heaven's door while in Congo, as I was reminded of this in December 2017, when 15 United Nations peacekeepers were slain for doing the same work that I had been doing undercover. In an effort to create the documentary on this man's life, many carrots were dangled throughout my time in Ghana, Angola, Congo, and Belgium. These proverbial carrots represent various situations throughout my life, such as record deals, soap opera contracts, publishing deals, documentary film deals, and probably the biggest carrot of all, the dangling carrot of elusive love. Relationships have energetically run my life to the core of my subconscious. I had to soul search and claw my way back from underneath the rock-solid wall that framed the quarry of my heart. I had to find the right shovel, chisel, and hand mallet to carve away the stone to unveil the newly formed intangible presence of self-love. My story reveals my darkest secrets during the height of my abusive relationships. The worst of these examples in my life was so deeply hidden that my closest friends and family still do not know the details that I'm about to reveal. I had no intention of ever letting anyone in to help me. I thought I could do it alone. However, my discovery is that if one does not fully release and heal, then the universe will continue to operate as a mirror and reflect the shadows. I always dreamt of leaving my mark in this world that I could transform my pain into something good. I always had this internal fight that I'm not good enough. I found that I needed to rescue myself and put my own oxygen mask on before I could ever begin helping others. I thought they needed me, but the fact was I really needed myself. After shedding my cocoon after 8 long years to write this book, I feel it is important to finally surrender and give birth to my story. I get to squat in the middle of a field of sunflowers and push this book out of my creative birthing canal and then watch how it grows, rises, stumbles, falls, and dances. The consummate process of giving birth to ideas, to passions, to inventions, to beliefs. I had to venture into going beyond my fear and to know that my voice was worthy of being heard. Homeless to the White House is where I surrender all that I know, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, and even physically. This story represents my personal journey of self-discovery, self-reliance, and self-empowerment. If my humble story can float in the vast sea of literary greatness and can change the life of just one person, then I know my goal will be realized. Thank you for taking the time to read my book. And now my story begins.
Tess Cacciatore. That's just the introduction? that's just a part of the introduction? Wow. If the book is called Homeless to the White House. It's coming out this spring. And Gwen.live, G-W-E-N.live is where you can get it, of course, and where books are sold.
Well, we have all the video components there. The bookstore will be up this summer. are this spring as well.
Oh.
And then you can go to globalwomensempowermentnetwork.org for the nonprofit site.
Globalwomensempowermentnetwork.org.
Yeah, that's a nonprofit site. And then the for-profit and the media programming company is Gwen.Live.
Gwen.Live. You know, I've said this before. I love the show because I'm always learning and I learn at every show. I like today, thanks to Tess, I learned that there are some chanting monks living on the moon. And evidently they're wearing the wrong color.
Well, those secret space missions that everybody talks about, now we know. That's how those monks got to the moon.
Exactly. It's Richard Branson and Elon Musk.
So thank you, Tess Cacciatore, for learning me that. And I loved your phrase, quote, "My trust in humanity does not seem to diminish." And thank you for that. Thank you for keeping your faith and your trust, and for sharing how you do and what you do with all of us and with all the women and the men.
We do Gwen with the men.
We do Gwen with the men.
I used to say we can't do Gwen. I don't even remember the old way, because Mark was the one that says, we do Gwen with the men. Take the negative word out.
Yeah,
we don't Gwen without the men. That's what
the
it
word
was.
Guy.
And he said, we do Gwen with the men. So that's our new mantra.
What was that you just said about hugs earlier during the break?
Give a hug. You get what you get.
You give what you get.
Yeah.
Or you get what you give.
Get what you give.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. Well, it's almost hug time. But Tess, thank you so much. You know, it's funny. On my other show, Filippo and the Chef, many, many years ago, I did an interview with you on your book, Bella Wishes, which hopefully is making a comeback all these years later.
Yes, it is. Bella's coming back with her little jingly bell. She's a belly dancing hippopotamus, early children reading, which is right around the same early age group, because yours goes from 3 to 103.
Well, there's no reason why 103, they can't be doing the belly dance.
Belly dancing hippo. I love it. Let's bring it back.
Okay. And so, and here we are many years later with Homeless to the White House. And who knows how many years from now with many, many other things. So thank you, Tess. Again, Gwen.Live and globalwomensempowermentnetwork.org.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much. More power to you.
I do have to just add one thing about self-judgment and what people do in society, because I came on here a while ago and I talked about my book coming out in the spring of that year. I think it was last year, maybe.
Uh-huh. And, yeah, you were a guest on the show, and that was a great show. Yeah.
Yeah. So people have been kind of yelling at me, why isn't your book out yet? And I had to really just realize that God has a bigger plan, and I had to go through my own transformation even deeper than I thought. So I just want to encourage anybody that's out there that wants to tell their story, that it don't put a confine around it. Don't put a timeline around it. Just do it and share it from your heart, because it might take 8 years like it did for me. And I just wanted to encourage people to share.
You might end up at
the
White House.
Well, I've already been to
the neighbor's house.
She's been there, done that.
No, but you'll hear a secret revealed if you read my book.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tess. Always great to have you and the stuff. Always.
Right. What he said. All of that.
And Rick, I'm looking forward to stuff and, you know.
Thank you. It all starts with a hug.
Yes.
And then more stuff.
And
more.
And then more stuff. So it's time for that. And on that merry note, before we go any further, I want to give a big thank you to Brent Hahn here at Studio NoHo for making us all sound so great.
Thank you, Brent.
Thank you to Doug Newsom and Don Newsom at BBS Radio Network, our program managers. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, and our producer, Mark Leger, I am Filippo Voltaggio, your host, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.